Today we have the opportunity to speak to Kriti Sharma. She is a fellow of disability rights at the Human Rights Watch in New York, and she is visiting in Oslo for the Global Action Week on Education. And Kriti, it's very nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
We have been learning quite a bit from Kriti in meetings and during the conference yesterday about the work that Human Rights Watch does on education and health and violence with regard to people with disabilities. And first, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your office and the people who work there and what you're working on right now. And then we will go into your programs and also your very interesting research that you have been doing in India. So please tell us a little bit about the work program of your office.
So Human Rights Watch works in over 90 countries, and the disability rights work has been going on for many years. We have worked on Uganda, Ghana, Nepal, Peru, and a number of other countries, China, Russia. But the Disability Rights Division was only created last year. We are a small team of 3 to 4 people, but we are trying to mainstream disability across all our work. And have all our colleagues try and include a disability angle and perspective. In terms of our strategic priorities for the division, there are mainly 3 priorities that we are focusing on. One is the violence against women and girls with disabilities and their access to justice. The second is lack and barriers to education, health, political participation. And the third is abuses in institutions. And my work actually combines many of these priorities. At the moment, I'm doing research on violence against women and girls with psychosocial or intellectual disabilities in India. And we find they experience violence throughout their lives, at home, in the community, as well as in institutions. And it's a range of violence, from physical and sexual violence to forced institutionalization, forced treatment. So we are working with local partners in country, on the ground, disabled persons organizations, advocates, to advocate for change and to change the situation on the ground.
And you also have some examples of how important it is to include children and youth with disabilities in education. And it's very impressive, the work that your organization does to document the challenges and also the opportunities for governments, for civil society organizations, international finance institutions to better integrate and include children with disabilities. Can you give some examples of your work in this field?
So we've done a number of projects on education. We've worked on access to education in Nepal, China, Russia. And we have seen that, for example, I'll give you just an example from Nepal. There are a number of barriers for children with disabilities. It's not just physical barriers to inclusion, but there are also a lack of trained teachers in inclusive methods, a lack of physical infrastructure, and they face a number of barriers, including stigma, which hinders their access to education. To give you an example of one boy that we interviewed, he's a 16-year-old boy named Aman. He has a physical and an intellectual disability, and the only barrier between him and education are 2 steep steps. Because of 2 steep steps at the entrance of the school building, he cannot go to school. Somebody usually helps him into the classroom, but the problem arises when he has to go to the toilet because he's not able to go on his own. So somebody goes to his house, fetches his mother to bring her back, to bring her to the school to actually help him go to the toilet. And he remains excluded in the classroom. People are scared of him. The children don't want to sit next to him because they don't understand disability. So it's extremely important to address and to promote inclusive education in a comprehensive manner, to not just look at how we can make it accessible, but also to address stigma, to also look at how we can eliminate these barriers in the long term to promote inclusion and inclusive education. And international financial institutions have an important role to play as donor agencies. They are able to push governments to collect disaggregated data, for example, on disability, to better inform policy. They are also able to promote inclusive education in their programs and to get government to commit to inclusive education. And this applies to not just education, but of course to health and violence against women. Donor agencies play a key role.
Thank you so much. It is very inspiring to hear about your good work, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors, and we will keep a lookout on your website for your reports. I know you're writing very many good ones that will also be helping us in our work at NORAD. Thank you so much, and have a good trip back.
Thank you.